Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, all week long we have talked about different strategies, different ideas, different methods of reflecting back on the year. And in as we wrap up 2017...
I'm smiling because I'm thinking, what day is it?
I know.
So we have to do that first.
Oh, okay. We are recording on the 22nd, and this is going to post on the 23rd, Christmas Eve Eve.
Okay.
The eve of Christmas Eve.
Okay, so this will post on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay, but it is Friday.
But we're recording on Friday, yes.
Okay, I'm with you now. Okay, and it's 2017.
Yes.
It's still 2017.
It is still 2017. Okay. You're right. But we have all week long talked about ways to look back at 2017 and sort of reflect on what was good, some areas that we didn't find as much success as we wanted.
Right.
And all in preparation for the transition to next week, where we're going to talk all about making resolutions, right, making goals and plans for the future.
You know, we're already starting to get comments from viewers and listeners about, wow, I didn't realize that you could do all this. And this is really more difficult than I thought it was. You know, people are commenting on, oh, there is a process.
Yeah.
It's much more involved. Right.
Right. Which has been great. And so, you know, definitely keep writing to us and we will try to help out how we can. But today's podcast is going to be another way for reflection. Right. But this, I think, serves nicely for that transition from reflecting to planning.
Right.
And that's what we want to do today, is talk a little bit about that.
And this is painting with a little broader brush than we've been doing during the week.
Yeah.
Because this would apply to not only to New Year's resolutions, this would apply to making lifelong decisions.
Right.
How do you make these decisions, especially if you're a beginning of a career or you're in college and you're trying to make these decisions about what you want to do, or you have started, you've begun your career, but you're not quite sure it's what you want to do, or you're at mid-career and say, I need a change. So I think today's topic is really a much broader look, and what sorts of things guide your decision making as to what resolutions you want to make in the coming year.
Right. So we're going to be referencing a article from Psychology Today called 5 Steps to Finding Your Life Purpose. Look no further. It's time to discover your life purpose. That's sort of the subtitle. And this is written by Dr. Davis.
Right.
I'm not going to try.
You know, it's an odd spelling. It's
T-C-H. I-K-I.
Right. So either you drop the C-H and it's Tiki.
It's not a southern
name.
Or you
drop the T, but it wouldn't be Cheeky. Cheeky? I don't know. So we apologize?
Yeah.
To Dr. Davis.
It reminds me of a like a Cherokee word. Cherokee, in the Cherokee language, they have TCH at the beginning of some words.
Right. And you put put all those consonants together, and it's a strange common, it's a strange sound in English. Right.
Right.
So we apologize, but
yes, Dr. Davis. But this is a great article. Again, 5 steps to finding your life purpose. And we're going to go through these 5 steps and just talk a little bit about them and you know, how you can use them as you're planning for this transition to resolutions and plans for 2018.
Right.
Now, the first thing that she talks about is find out what drives you.
Right.
Now, I think that sort of the underlying current to all of these is, as you said a moment ago, we're talking about life.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about, I'd like to lose 5 pounds.
Right.
We're talking about sort of life decisions and you know, thus the name life purpose.
Right.
So we're not talking about sort of minor, I say minor sort of loosely. We're not talking about real specific goals that have to do with, you know, losing weight or, you know, any of those kinds of things. What we're really talking about are life purposes, goals.
Yeah, the broader brush
approach. Right.
Okay.
So step one is to find out what drives you. Right. And I think that this is really difficult for people, you know, because you have to have a lot of experience in a bunch of different things before you can find what really drives you.
That's right. And you don't find what there are two things I want to say about this. First of all, when I read this, I thought, you know, not everybody finds that.
Right.
Okay, that's number one, is that there are people who go through life very happy with what they're doing, but they don't have what we would call an overarching passion about anything. There are other people who find that. Some find it very early. Some find it later in life. Mm-hmm. But that's the first point, is that don't worry that you don't find your passion. You can be successful if you don't have something like that, this overwhelming passion to do something. So it's not necessary. And the second point is, you're not going to find it by thinking about it.
Right.
Like you said, you have to have some experiences. Right. You might think you want to do something, and then you do it and say, oh, this is not for me.
Right.
Okay. There are people who are driven to help the homeless. Mm-hmm. There are people who are driven to teach. There are people who are driven to be surgeons.
Right.
That's a fortunate discovery.
Right.
Okay. But please don't be discouraged if you don't find something that drives you. There are four more things coming.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. She doesn't reference him here, but this reminds me of the concept of bliss proposed by Joseph Campbell. Mm-hmm. He was a mythologist or
mythology.
And he back in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s, of course, he, and I guess into the 80s as well. I think he passed away in the 80s.
Right.
He talked a lot about bliss and the hero's journey and things like that. And what that is doing something because you just enjoy doing it.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. finding that happiness. It's not financial. It's not, monetary or physical rewards that you get. Mm-hmm. There's just an internal, intrinsic motivation and drive and passion about a particular thing.
That's right. That you'll do it no matter what. We talked about that earlier in the week, that
mm-hmm.
you will do this no matter what. I'm going to do this no matter what. I mean, people talk about retirement, for example, and you'll frequently hear people say, well, I'm going to retire, but I'm going to continue writing.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And the other last piece to this one, I think, to mention, is that sometimes the thing that really drives you is not your job.
Right.
You know, you can have a job doing whatever, in whatever position you choose.
Right.
But your passion may be something that you do on the side.
That's right.
You know, I know a lot of people who coach, for example. They coach soccer teams or baseball or football teams or something, and they just love it. And they don't even have a kid playing, but they're out there coaching and dedicating their time to it and everything. It's not their day job, but it's something that they get up for every day. That's something that they're willing to give up their Saturdays or their evenings for, because they are just passionate about that just really drives them. They take courses and they do all this stuff.
Yeah, that's right. People do that.
Yeah.
So you have vocation and avocation.
Right.
Okay. And what came to mind as you were talking was, you may be in a job that you enjoy. You're not passionate about it, but it's acceptable.
Do
it, and you don't mind doing it, and you enjoy it, and you get some satisfaction. But you love to cook.
Right.
So you get to leave work and go home and do what you're really passionate. You don't want to be a chef.
Right.
Okay, because that's another whole issue. But you're able to have, you're able to pursue what drives you, pursue your passions, but it doesn't necessarily have to be your job.
Right. Right.
Good point.
Now, one of the things that she offers sort of a strategy here as far as what drives you is to look at, and it's a very interesting twist, to look at what has caused you great pain. And she says, you know, when you look at pain and injustice and things like that, a lot of times we find drive and purpose from that, because we experience those things and we think or we say, you know, I don't want that to ever happen again, or I don't want anyone else to ever have to experience that. Mm-hmm. And so that can help help you discover a passion or a drive. Or
I'm going to talk to my son for a minute. He's 24.
Yeah.
His passion, his drive, is music.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's not an easy, simple life to pursue.
That's
so
a tough life.
This would be another case where go ahead and do your work. He loves his work.
Right.
He would rather be a professional musician.
Right.
But he loves his work, and he can pursue his music after work.
Right.
So you get to do both.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do both.
Right.
Step two is to find what energizes you.
This one I like.
Yes.
Since I'm not really half asleep most of the time. I look like I am, but I'm not. Even my brother said, you look like you're half. He said, I know you're not, but you look, I'm not. But this one struck a chord.
Yeah.
What energizes you?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a simple one.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is the thing that, again, this is the thing that you would get up early for.
That's right.
You know, the thing that when you wake up in the morning and you have to go do this, you have no problem getting out of bed.
In my case, it would be staying up late for.
Yeah,
if it keeps me awake, it's really important.
That's right.
Because
right?
Most things don't keep me awake.
That's true.
But important stuff does.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what those important things
well,
are.
Like, well, like my kids, you know. Like, I can be ready to collapse from exhaustion, but if one of my kids calls and says, you need to come and pick me up,
I see.
I would be highly energized.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But we're talking about what kind of work things energize you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are university professors, and we happen to be at universities where research is valued.
Mm-hmm.
Doing research doesn't energize me.
Right.
And I've done it. I know how to do it. It's just something that I've never really enjoyed. I like doing it.
Right.
No, I like having done it.
Right.
I like to get the results. I don't like the process because it takes enormous discipline, organization,
right.
control, sacrifice, and it's just not something that it doesn't energize me.
I like the intellectual process of it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I like thinking about it and problem solving, and then I'm just like, give it to somebody else to do.
Let somebody else.
You didn't care.
And yet there are other faculty members who are so, they're just, oh, I can't wait to get back in the lab, and I can't wait to do it. And that's what energizes them.
Mm-hmm.
What energizes me is teaching.
Right.
And there are other faculty members who don't get energized by teaching. So when you get really energized by something, that's a real strong hint that this is really important to you, that this could be one of your passions.
Yeah. One of the things that does that for me is I enjoy coaching.
Right.
I have to admit that I don't know that I would be out coaching if I didn't have a kid or, a relative playing.
You probably
but
would.
When I'm, you know, we can have a really long day here. We can get up at, 3 o'clock in the morning. We're here at 3:30. We're recording. We're, seeing patients all day long. And then, that night at 8 o'clock, I could have, or actually 6:30 to 8:30, we could have practice. And I could be ready to fall asleep at 5 o'clock. But as soon as 6 o'clock rolls around, I'm ready to go.
Ready to go.
Because it's time for practice.
That's what
Mm-hmm. So when you get out there and you can run around a little bit and do some training and stuff. So yes, it's that what energizes you, what gets you going, what gets you up, and you're rarely are you too tired to do this thing.
That's right.
Whatever it may be.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, number three is to find out what you are willing to sacrifice for.
Right.
And again, this is something that I really like because this is something that I convey to my patients.
Right.
You know, when we talk about, they say that they're ready to make change, they're ready to do this. Mm-hmm. And so, one of the questions I ask them is, what are you willing to give up for it?
That's right. Because we talked several weeks ago about making changes. And one of the things we said is, if you're going to put something else into your life, you have to take something out. It might be time, it might be money, but you're going to make some trade. You're going to make, and so what are you willing to, if you're willing to give something up in order to do something, it's probably really important to you.
Right.
If you're not, if you say, well, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have this, I don't have that, then whatever you're thinking about is probably not really important.
Right.
If you're not willing to sacrifice something, it's probably not important to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, if you really want to get healthy, you want to start eating better.
Right.
But you know what? I'm just not going to give up the nachos and
I'm not going to give up snack food. I'm not going to give up junk food. I'm not going to give up fast food.
I'm not going to give up the sodas.
Right. I'm just not going to do it. Then it's not a passion.
Then it's fine, but you're not ready for that change.
Right. Right.
Because to make the change, you have to be willing to
sacrifice.
That's right.
And as people approach 2018 and they're thinking, I'd like to do this, this, and this, always remember that whatever decision you make, there is this other side of that coin. You're going to give something up. It's either going to cost you money. Like, I'm going to go to the gym every day. Well, it's going to cost you money.
Right.
And you're going to have to give up something else yeah. that you would normally do during that time.
Right.
Okay.
Because that time has to come from somewhere.
Got to come
from
somewhere.
Yeah.
We tried to get more than 168 hours the other day, and
we did.
Couldn't find them.
No, we. There's only
you did
one
look, right.
There's only one day a year that you can do that.
It's true. You get 24 extra hours, right? Every 4 years. One day a year?
Well, no, I wasn't even thinking about that one. I was thinking about when time changes. It falls back, then you get 1 hour. You get to repeat that hour. And so you get 169 hours that week.
That's true.
Which is nice.
One day a year.
One day a year.
Speaking of which, days are getting longer starting today.
That's right.
Daylight is increasing.
Yeah.
From today on.
Because yesterday was the winter solstice.
Yesterday was solstice, right.
Yes.
Pagan holiday, you call it.
Right, but what's nice is that you're right. Is now the shortening of days has ended, and now we're getting into longer. Our days are going to slowly get more daylight.
More daylight, right? So yeah. All that complaining about it's getting dark mm-hmm. too early, it's going to get a little bit later every day.
It's going to slowly start transitioning, right. So which is fantastic. It's Good a very
optimistic
way of thinking about
it. There's reason for optimism. That we're going to have more daylight today than we had yesterday.
Step four, find out who you want to help.
This was a showstopper, too.
Earlier this week, we talked about the importance of gratitude.
Right.
And that, you know, as we reflect back and we think about who we are and what we're doing and everything, part of us being social creatures is the idea of helping and supporting and interacting with others.
Right.
And so step four is, who do you want to help?
What I loved about this one was not that you should consider helping others. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a given.
Right.
The only question is...
Who is it going to be?
Who's going to be the recipient?
Yeah.
And I really like this one because I'm thinking about, of course, family, all that. But my brother is very dedicated and has been for many, many years to a certain demographic,
mm-hmm.
okay? And he is just passionate about it. It has been a life's work for a long time. He has found the group that he really wants to work mm-hmm. with. My sister, who's a retired teacher, continues to work with young people. She mm-hmm. knows where she wants to put her her energy, her effort, her attention.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's another way of finding what is really important to you.
Right.
Is to whom do you want to give this?
Right, because no matter what you're doing, it's... for the purpose of someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether you know, even if you think of something as, you know, game development,
right?
Okay.
You're
like creating games. You're creating video games for someone else's enjoyment. I mean, that's the purpose of creating games.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you can create a game for your own enjoyment, I suppose, but you're really only going to enjoy it as much as you can share it with other people and other people can enjoy it.
Right.
So no matter what you're doing, there's someone else that's going to benefit from that or someone else that you hope will benefit from that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, figure out who those people are.
That's right. That's right. Because that's going to guide your decision making.
Yeah.
Is if you don't like to be around young kids, you know, there are people who are passionate about preschoolers.
Right.
Okay. They love being with little kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That then drives your decision making.
Right.
If that's not your interest, then don't even think about that.
Right.
You know, but to whom will you direct all of this work that you're talking about doing?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can also make the decision based on whom you're going to help.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the final step is find out how you want to help.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how are you going to go about this?
That's right.
Are you going to get more education? Are you going to start an apprenticeship of some sort? Are you going to, you know, volunteer, mentor?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to help?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really want to teach. Well, mm-hmm. how are you going to do that?
Right.
Well, I have to go to school.
Right.
I have to go to college. I need a degree. I need certifications. How are you? But how follows what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so or who? Who are you going to help?
Right.
Once you know that, then say, okay, how am I going to accomplish this?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't really get the how until you know the who.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because you have to know, you know, what the domain is.
That's right. Where's it going to go? Where am I going to do this? Am
yeah.
I going to do it in a business or a school or a college or a jail?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
there are people who are dedicated to helping those who are incarcerated.
Absolutely.
Am I going to do it in a nursing home? Because there are people who are dedicated to taking care of the elderly.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So, okay, so we have these five steps. And I think that it's important to sort of, I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, not generalize it, but just kind of expand from the perspective of how this can work and how this should work as you're looking into and planning for 2018.
Well, you know, you and I both see young people, people in their late teens and 20s, and sometimes extending even into the 30s, who are still not sure what they want to do.
Right.
Okay, they say, well, I'm not sure what I want to do. Nothing really excites me. I'm not really passionate about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's understandable. Okay. Mm-hmm. But for those individuals, this would be a good starting point.
Right.
Okay. And if you're really I think one of the problems, if we talk about sacrifice,
right,
you know, what are you willing to sacrifice? I think one of the problems in not making a decision is you don't want to give anything up.
Right.
Okay. And that's understandable.
Sure.
Okay. But instead of thinking, instead of focusing on what you're giving up, go to the other side and consider for a moment what you are really passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
What do you really, don't worry about money, don't worry about status, don't worry about anything else. All that will come.
Mm-hmm.
What are you really and use these five decisions, use these
right.
five questions to make that decision. And it'll clarify your thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you can, there are so many people in their 20s who are talented and well-educated and mm-hmm. competent in so many ways, and yet they are struggling to make a decision.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and sort of branching from that, one of the big points that I try to emphasize is that there is no prescribed roadmap
no.
to any of
no.
this.
Mm-mm.
You success does not automatically come from college.
Right.
Success does not automatically come from, you know, a professional graduate program.
Right.
Success doesn't automatically come from anything.
It doesn't come from achieving a specific goal.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So
we talked about that before, that it's not the destination.
Right.
It's the journey.
There are so many non-traditional ways to accomplish just about anything that you
anything
want to accomplish.
Right.
I was talking with someone the other day, and this person struggles so much in school, but he's a teenager, he's in high school, and he struggles so much in school, but all he can do is he just keeps getting down on himself because while he's doing poorly in school, he doesn't feel as though there's any way that he can accomplish, you know, one of his goals is to work in computer programming.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to explain to him and trying to help him appreciate the fact that, you know, you can become a computer programmer. You can do all of that without going to college.
Right.
There
right.
are lots of other ways to do that. And we get into this rigid mindset that
mm-hmm.
the only way that I can find success is to follow this specific path.
That's right.
And man, there are so many other paths out there.
Right. I had a young fellow I was working with for some time ago, and he kept saying, well, I want to make a lot of money, so I have to major in business.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
Right.
You can make a lot of money doing any number of things.
Right.
It doesn't have to be. That's not the only path to making money.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And so as you're looking at this list of five steps,
right.
you know, the who and the how and, you know, if you know what drives you, computer programming, and you know that that it energizes you because you can sit down and you can mm-hmm. you can do programming for hours and hours and hours, and then you know who you want to help with it and how you want to help with it. Now it's just a matter of manifesting it, and that's as we're getting into this transition to 2018.
Right.
You know, so what is next year going to look like? Mm-hmm. All of the podcasts that we're going to do for next week are going to focus on, you know, looking at resolutions and making goals and plans for the mm-hmm. coming year. But sort of as a primer for that, I would want you to start thinking outside the box, though I hate that little phrase.
Yeah, I do too. You don't use that phrase.
No.
I've never heard you use that.
I don't like that phrase. But I want you to think non-traditionally. I want you to think creatively in how you can accomplish some of these goals that you have.
Right.
You don't have to go back to school
right.
to achieve a particular... Now, if you want to be a physician, yeah, you got to go to school. But that there are other steps that you have to take to be able to accomplish that. If you want to work in the medical field, you don't have to go to medical school.
Right.
You can do any number of other mm-hmm. things.
Right.
If you want to, again, do computer programming, there are dozens, hundreds, thousands of online programs that you can do to get certifications and to do all those things that won't cost you, you know, the time and the money and the tuition and all that for a college. Where you're going to have to take history classes, even though you're majoring in computer programming.
That's what this fellow did. He was taking these business classes, which he hated.
Right.
He had no interest in them at all. They were simply a means to an end. He thought he needed to have a degree in business, which he didn't.
Right.
He didn't need that. And he just hated these classes that he was taking. He said, they're just boring. They're not interesting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He had to take them to get the degree.
Right.
But he was not the least
But he didn't need the degree.
No, he didn't need the degree to do what he wanted to do.
Right.
Right.
So think broadly as you're starting to what?
I was glad you said broadly instead of think outside the box.
I know. I was thinking chicken.
When, you know, like a box of chicken or something. I don't know why. You know, those things that open up and there's a chicken inside. A dead chicken. A cooked chicken. You know, think outside the chicken box.
I don't know why. I don't even know where to go from there.
Well, you said it. And you said, think outside the box. I've never heard you say that before.
I like broadly.
Think broadly.
I'm stuck.
I think we should ban outside. Think outside. I think we should ban two things. 24/7.
Oh, that phrase.
Oh. Yes.
What do you prefer for that?
I don't anything, but when I hear
instead of 24/7, I'll go 168/7.
No, don't do that either. No, 24/7 and think outside the box. I think we should resolve that in 2018
we will never utter those.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, I like broadly. Think broadly.
So what we really want you to do is think outside the box 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's how we should wrap it up there?
Think outside the box, 24/7.
So
we are giddy today because there are only two more working days until Monday. So.
And Monday is Christmas.
Oh, that's right.
So we don't even get to work Monday. No?
We're going to take Christmas off.
Are you?
Well, not the whole Christmas. Not the whole day, but...
No, we'll...
Nobody else will see us working, let's put it that way.
We will not.
That's true. Nobody else will see us working.
That's right.
Because I get up... Well, and you do too, probably. You get up early on Christmas morning before everybody else. Get some work done.
Yeah.
And wait for the kids to wake up.
And then, oh, I hear something out
there.
That's
right. Must be Christmas.
Yeah. Right. But it's nice when your kids are old enough to where it's like they don't get up early.
Right.
And it's like, so...
That's right. Okay.
But, yes...
Use these if you're making these decisions. They work for executives, for students, for millennials. You know, if you're a millennial and you're struggling, go ahead and take a look at these and use them. They were helpful for me, and especially with this the first one. You know, mm-hmm. what drive? Because you might not have that sort of passion in your work life. And that's okay, because you can use whichever one of these works for you as you narrow down the decision about making a commitment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right, that is it then.
Yeah.
That's it. Until next time, make sure that you are following us in all the different areas and ways and means that you can follow us: Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, YouTube, et cetera.
That's right. You have a little time now over the holidays.
Right.
Write to us.
There's a bit of a variety.
Right. Send us a holiday greeting that contains your reactions to the shows. Let us hear from you. We'd love to hear from all of you.
Yeah. We'd love for you to write a rating or write a review on iTunes. That would be awesome. Keep communicating with us via YouTube. I've really enjoyed interacting with many of you through that medium. It's just been great.
Right.
Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/TheMentalBreakdown. The link's in the show notes. It's a great way if you have the interest and means and ability to help support us to do more. We have a lot planned for 2018. We'll talk a little bit about that next week, some of the things we have planned for 2018.
What our resolutions and goals and commitments and plans are for 2018.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got some big ones.
Big plans for 2018.
Yeah. So so check that out if you have any interest in ability to do that. That would be very cool.
Right.
So all right. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.